From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? It is your boy, Al Martin, here for another fantastic edition of Current Sports. We have a fully loaded show that encompasses a lot, and I do mean a lot of conversation, folks. We will talk about the MSU Cotton Bowl presser. That is where I am just now coming from. Mark D'Antonio, Pat Narduzzi, Jim Bowman, Dave Warner, all of the offense and the defense, they all talked at Spartan Stadium this morning. It's actually still going on as we speak. We'll talk about the takeaways from that presser and so much more. Hey, even athletic director Mark Hollis hit the podium as well, folks. So we'll talk about that. We'll also discuss all of the Michigan football coaching search that is going on right now. I tell you what, talks blew up yesterday when it comes to Jim Harbaugh possibly coaching at U of M. We'll chat about that. We'll have a special Top 5 Tuesday for you as we list the top 5 shooters in college hoops history. You don't want to miss that. And how about those Pistons? They had a chance to sweep a West Coast trip, but they fall to the Los Angeles Clippers. We'll discuss them as well and have so much more, folks. But as custom here on Current Sports, let's start the show like we always do. Here are your Current Sports Quick and Headliners. All right, to start off, we've got some MSU women's basketball action taking place tonight. The Michigan State women's basketball team will open up a busy week with the first of its 3 games when the Spartans host Alcorn State tonight, MSU's final home non-conference regular season game. Now, tip-off from the Brez for the battle between the Spartans and Lady Braves is slated for 7 p.m., Now, today, MSU's annual Pack the Bus event will be taking place. There will be a bus parked outside of the Breslin Center between gates B and C from 5 to 8 p.m., collecting gifts to be donated for Toys for Tots. So those attending that game, hey, bring a toy or two to help a needy kid this holiday season. And we'll be giving away tickets. Yes, one pair of tickets to tonight's MSU and Alcorn State. Don't touch that dial. Find out how to win right after I'm done with these headliners, all right? All right, the Michigan State men's basketball team moved back into the AP Top 25 poll, and Kentucky is still the unanimous number one team. The Wildcats got all 65 first-place votes in a new poll today. Now, the top 7 spots are unchanged from a week ago. Duke, Arizona, Louisville, and Wisconsin round out the top 5, followed by Virginia and Villanova. Now, Gonzaga and Texas swapped spots from last week, and Kansas is 10th. LSU coach Les Miles, twice a candidate to be Michigan's football coach, said Monday night that the Wolverines should be allowed to look for their next head coach without his name being tossed about during the searching process. Now, Miles made his comments in the football facility after his team started practicing for the December 30th Music City Bowl against Notre Dame. Now, according to the accounts of several reporters in Baton Rouge, Miles has not to be quoted directly on the topic, but he wanted to deliver a message. Miles said that U of M had not contacted his agent, George Bass, to gauge Miles' interest in the job. So as of right now, folks, I think we can put that to bed, Michigan fans. All right, the city of Detroit is to announce today that it has selected Larson Realty Group to redevelop the Tiger Stadium site, choosing a proposal that will not only preserve the historic playing field, but add residential and commercial space. Now, two local developers, Roxbury Group of Detroit and the Larson Realty Group of Bloomfield Hills, responded to the city's March request for proposals with plans for mixed-use development, including retail and residential space. But multiple sources told the Free Press that Larson had been selected. All right, after taking an early 9-point lead last night, the LA Clippers blitzed the Detroit Pistons on the way to a dominating 113-91 victory. Now, the loss brought a screeching halt to the Pistons' momentum after winning the first 2 games of the 3-game trip out west. The Pistons allowed the Clippers to shoot 53.8% from the field, only the third time this season they have allowed an opponent to shoot more than 50%. And there's been a lot of rumors swirling about Greg Monroe, Pistons big man, stemming all the way back to this past summer. And Greg Monroe has denied a report that he wants out of Detroit. He didn't even know today was the first day players signed over the summer were eligible to be traded, saying, quote, "They put that stuff out there. Say somebody said it, and then I got to answer for it. I really don't have time for that." He said that after the game to the Clippers. Now, on the rumors, he added, "It's getting more and more irritating. We've lost 13 games in a row, won a couple of games, and now you got to hear this." All right, the Detroit Red Wings will try to get back on track and snap a 3-game losing streak tonight. They will host the Columbus Blue Jackets at Joe Louis Arena. Puck drop is set for 7:30 p.m. And Detroit Lions defensive end Jason Jones stood at half court Monday night in the gym at Southfield Lathrop High School during a ceremony to retire his football number one after playing a big role in Detroit win over this past weekend. Jason Jones was fantastic. Now, seven of his current teammates showed up to honor Jones, including Ndamukong Suh, Daryl Tapp, Aaron Ebron, Joik Bell, and Zeke Ansah. Now, as Jones started to give a speech, several Lions held up their cell phones recording the moment and breaking into smiles. Now, Jones is the first ever football player to have his number retired at Southfield Lathrop High School. Well, those are your current Sports Quick headliners. Our phone lines are now open. All right, folks, and that number to call, if you want to weigh in on anything that we talk about on today's show, is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Also, if you want to call in, give your thoughts on anything, but also, if you want to call in, we'll go with caller number two today, Alex. Caller number two will win tickets to tonight's MSU women's basketball game. Against Alcorn State. Now, again, they'll be taking Alcorn State on at 7 p.m. at the Breslin Center. And again, it's the annual Pack the Bus event that the MSU women's basketball team always holds. And again, there'll be a bus parked outside of the Breslin Center hours before the game even starts, from 5 to 8 p.m., folks. So 4 hours from now is when that begins. They will be collecting gifts to be donated for Toys for Tots. So if you're going to the game, whoever wins on today's show, hey, take a toy or two, take it down to the Pack the Bus event, and make a kid's holiday season a little bit brighter, okay? Well, folks, again, we'll have this is a 4 hour of straight-up discussion, folks. Again, we'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. A ton to talk about. I am actually just now getting in the building. I actually got to the studio not too long ago from Spartan Stadium. And today, this morning, was ideally, before, I guess, the end of the year presser for Coach D'Antonio. But this was the annual, which is becoming an annual thing now, because Mark D'Antonio, throughout his entire tenure here at Michigan State, I mean, he is accomplished a pretty cool feat, and that's going to a bowl game. 8 years, 8 bowls, gotta love that. So it's become an annual thing now for MSU to hold a bowl presser. They did this morning, starting at 10:45 a.m. To preview the Cotton Bowl, and the first man to hit the mic happened to be Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis. Interesting chat with Mark Hollis as he addressed his media members. He hit on a lot of things. Of course, when you talk about the athletic director duties and responsibilities, anytime in a bowl conversation or any big event, I mean, one of the prime conversations that you have has to do with putting butts in the seats. Simple as that. So earlier on today's, on current sports, not today's current sports, obviously, but in the past, stemming back to last week, we talked about how the ticket sales for the Cotton Bowl out in Dallas, Texas, have not been flying off the shelves, so to speak, for Spartan fans. It went so far as for Baylor to go on their Twitter account, their official Twitter account, and say, "Hey, if you want to purchase tickets to go to this year's Cotton Bowl, go to MSU's website." And they even were saying, "Hey, we want to have more fans than Michigan State," so to speak. So, interesting stuff, and we really got to pick Mark Hollis's brain on exactly why those tickets are not selling. You know, last week we bantered about, you know, the numerous scenarios that possibly could allude to Spartan fans not making the trip out to Dallas, Texas. And, you know, really, really compelling arguments, really compelling arguments. And today, you know, I had even brought up the issue of athletic directors, general managers, no matter what sport it is now, because I feel as though this is a subject that is encompassing so many different areas of sports, not even just in the college game, but TV, television is becoming so good now. I mean, with HD, with all of the different camera angles, you know, with the ability to sit at home and watch the game, you know, with all of that coupled together, there are many people out there to believe that the at-home experience, the at-home viewing experience for whatever sporting event it may be, is really competing, if not out-dueling that of the at-game experience, being right there at the stadium, being right there at the basketball arena, being right there to witness the game firsthand. You know, Hollis has addressed this before, but he brought it up again this morning, and I thought it was really interesting because he talked about that challenge, and he talked about the appeal that a bowl, that the Cotton Bowl out in Dallas, Texas this year could have, you know, that you know, how could that bowl attract, and why would that bowl attract someone here in the state of Michigan, up north, here in Lansing, in Detroit, no matter where you may be, what would make that individual make the trip to Dallas, Texas, instead of watching a game at home? And, you know, he talked about how, as athletic directors, they battle with all of the different scenarios that weigh in that discussion in trying to make the in-game experience better. Simple as that. Really interesting take on it from Mark Hollis as far as his answer to that. I mean, there's really no clear-cut solution to that. That's kind of a, you know, you just got to try different things and hope that a few of them stick. You know, it's becoming a huge, huge challenge. At the end of the day, you're going to have fans there regardless whether Baylor outweighs Michigan State or Michigan State outweighs Baylor. Those seats are going to get taken, I do believe at least, because, you know, you're talking about a big bowl as far as the Cotton Bowl is concerned. And it was another main theme throughout much of today's press conference happened to be you heard the word disappointment a lot this morning down at Spartan Stadium. And you heard that word because, again, there are still many Spartan fans out there that believe that this season is a disappointment because Michigan State didn't accomplish the almighty goal of competing in the 4-team playoff. Since those expectations did not get met, they look at this season as good but not great. So really interesting. I wish we had that bite from D'Antonio. And again, we're going to post this later on our website at WKAR.org if you want to hear D'Antonio firsthand address it. But he kind of got really annoyed by it. There was a specific moment from M Live sports reporter Mike Griffith where Mike brought up how, you know, he brought up the fact that many Spartan fans out there ideally look at this season as a disappointment. And as soon as those words were uttered, D'Antonio said, I don't know why you guys look at it like that. I mean, 10-2 is pretty good. You know, and he harped on that and talked about how, you know, playing in the Cotton Bowl is still a big thing. And he equated it as far as the Big 12 conference is concerned, the Cotton Bowl is their Rose Bowl. And he talked about the importance of that game. And, you know, and I just feel as though, and I've gone on the record to say it here on Current Sports and have not been shy to do so, that when you have expectations like that on this season, let's be honest here, anytime you win a Rose Bowl, looking at what Michigan State did last year, I mean, it was truly remarkable. First time it's been done since the 80s. 29 years people have been waiting on that moment for Michigan State to get back there. Not only did they get there, but they finished the job. So when you have expectations that big, you know, or coming off a season that big, I should say, that breeds expectations that big or even greater the next season. So Michigan State not competing in the Rose Bowl in many people's eyes, in many fans' eyes, is going to be looked at as a disappointment. And if you put it that way, and this is what I think, you know, when you talk about making that turn of your program to sort of etch in stone that you have arrived, I guess you can say, for lack of better terms, if the expectations go up, if you do win a Rose Bowl and you say next year you want to compete for a national championship and you don't do that, ideally you have to look at it as a disappointment, I think, because anything less tempers where this program wants to be. Michigan State wants to be competing for national championships. And you better believe, you know, the great teams as of recent years say that if they're not competing for a national championship, they're disappointed. Simple as that. I mean, you could probably ask Nick Saban that. I mean, look at Alabama. Let's just take a program like Alabama, for instance. Alabama is a program that every year is in the discussion to compete for a national title. Every year you hear these analysts go on ESPN, go on Fox Sports, go on the radio shows and talk about how Bama has a great recruiting class and how Bama has a good chance to possibly get back to that level. Every year you hear it. That's the culture that Nick Saban and his players and his coaching staff has created down there. It's all or nothing for that team. In order for Michigan State to be in that conversation and to be in that same aura or light, you have to have those expectations. And once you don't meet them, you can't be satisfied. Simple as that. So I certainly see both sides to the spectrum here where for Michigan State, for Mark D'Antonio and his coaching staff, yes, a 10-win season is great. It's fantastic. Not many teams out there can say that they even accomplished double-digit wins in a college football year. And looking at who the two losses came to for Michigan State, in Oregon, in Ohio State, those are two teams that are competing for a national championship. So it's not like they laid an egg against a bad team throughout the year. Great season for Michigan State, without a doubt. But if you want to change the culture and want to be in the same light, in the same conversation as the big dog, so to speak, who compete every year, whose name is said every year in a national championship, you have to hold yourself up to those same standards. Interesting concept because it's a success, but for the minded individual who says that, okay, Michigan State, I want to see them top dog every single year. For that individual, for that coach, for that mindset, ideally it can be looked at as a disappointment. So I definitely see it. But again, D'Antonio was clearly annoyed at it this morning at Spartan Stadium. He had some interesting thoughts on it. Again, now Michigan State plays in the Cotton Bowl. They play a very, very, very good Baylor team, folks. I mean, this is a team that if we were going off Associated Press college football playoff rankings, Baylor would be competing for a national championship, seeing as though they were ranked number 4. But we're not. Again, the committee decided to put Ohio State in there. They snuck Ohio State in there. You got Florida State, of course. You got Alabama, and you got Oregon. Those are the 4 teams. Baylor is at number 5. So just on the outside looking in when it comes to that. Baylor, I tell you what, another word that was said throughout this morning happened to be speed. Baylor is the fastest team in the nation. The fastest and the top dog offensively in the nation when you look at the numbers and you run the numbers down. So a lot of what Pat Narduzzi talked about as far as his top defense, I mean, Pat Narduzzi has a top defense every single year. And as far as the Michigan State juggernaut defense going against such a fast-paced offense such as Baylor's, a lot of the questions had to do with how are you going to slow this team down. And it was interesting because, you know, Pat Narduzzi ran down some numbers. I had no idea that Baylor, they ideally snapped the ball on an average of 16 seconds in between each snap. 16 seconds, that's it. 16 to 20 seconds is where that number lies. Now, if you remember at the beginning of the year, right on the brink of that Michigan State and Oregon game, Oregon was heralded as the fastest team in the nation. Especially in between snaps. They love that fast-paced offense in between snaps. Now, looking at the numbers, Pat Narduzzi's talked about how Oregon in between snaps snaps the ball between 22 to 25 seconds. So, I mean, you're talking ideally at an almost double-digit faster rate than Oregon plays with. About 8-second differential in between snaps. So, Pat Narduzzi, you know what he did yesterday? He put his team through a rigorous practice, folks. Actually, you know, he ran out of numbers. He said his team, his defensive squad, actually acquired around 160 reps in practice yesterday. He said they walked off that field and were basically dead. And he kind of felt bad. He joked about that, too. But, I mean, that's the type of preparation. It shows you the type of coach that Pat Narduzzi is. He is going to do everything in his power to make sure that his defense is ready against Baylor. So, interesting stuff. And, yes, folks, Pat Narduzzi addressed And well, I should say he was asked this. He didn't address it. He was asked this and, of course, had to address it, seeing as though he was asked a question. But he was asked whether or not he had been contacted by other schools for a head coaching job. Now, we all know, folks, that Pat Narduzzi, I mean, Pat is an unbelievable. I mean, he was the top assistant. He got the award for the top assistant coach in college football last year. It's just a matter of time before Pat Narduzzi becomes a head coach somewhere. Will it be after this year, though? He was asked that question, and he basically said, hey, I'm not addressing it. I know you guys have to ask it, but I'm not addressing it. You know, I'm focused on I'm focused on the task at hand, and that is coming up with a defensive scheme to help beat Baylor. So, didn't address it, but you better believe, I'm sure his phone has been ringing up about it. So, I know a few of you probably had questions about that. So, nonetheless, a compelling presser. Again, Michigan State wrapping up the season. I can't believe college football is just about done now. You just got bowl games to play. That's about it. It's going to be an interesting game, though, an entertaining game. And I do believe that Michigan State can send a very big message to the nation if they do beat Baylor. But it's not going to be easy against a very talented Baylor team, to say the least. Alex Sharg now joins the conversation, the man behind the glass. Alex, my man, I'm done with my rant. How you doing?
Yeah, it was a pretty good rant. How would you grade it? I think that's a good 7 or 8 rant, man. That's a good out of a skill 1 to 10.
You like that?
7 or 8. Yeah,
7 or 8, okay. Like okay, I'll take that because you're a harsh critic, Alex. So that's like a 10. That's a 10 in your eyes, man. Thank you.
You know, yeah, that's pretty good. I'm doing pretty well. I did not catch your beloved Pistons last night.
Oh,
in
boy.
That heartbreaking loss. But I did actually look at a little bit of the Michigan State women's game coming up today, previewing that game. Mm-hmm. So I've been looking up this Alcorn State team. It's not going to be very close.
Yeah, I think Michigan State probably just blows them out the water, right? Exactly. Yeah. Now for you, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We actually have two, yes, not one, but two current sports questions of the day. The first one, we're going to get to in our right in a second here, literally like a minute or two. It concerns Jim Harbaugh because, Alex, I'm pretty sure your Twitter might have blown up because mine did. I got a few text messages. Actually, Eric Doc Love from Big Country 92.1, who we had on the show last week. I actually be doing a high school game with Eric tonight. Langsburg will be taking on Fowler, so looking forward to that. But Eric Doc Love, I mean, he's notoriously known for being such a big U of M fan. And he actually shot me a text yesterday saying, oh, boy, it's being reported at Harbaugh. He's interested in the U of M job. I think it's about to happen. He was all giddy about it. And, you know, there were conflicting reports out there concerning Jim that is basically set in stone. Then you had other news media outlets saying, no, it's not. They haven't even contacted a man, so on and so forth. So, again, what do you think? This is our first question out there. We have two today. Do you think that Jim Harbaugh will coach at U of M? That's the first one. The second one centers around the MSU football team. Of course, again, you heard the word disappointment throughout the entire morning. Do you think that this season, as a fan, and again, this is your opinion, do you think that this season has been a disappointment for the MSU football team? What do you think? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Really briefly, before going to the U of M discussion with Harbaugh, Alex, what do you think about the word disappointment being tattered constantly with this season so far, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, and you made some great points about, you know, having the 10 wins and all that. But even the distractions that come with it, like the fact that Narduzzi today was asked about his head coaching possibilities, the fact that there are still a lot of bigger, grandiose questions at side here. I think that at the end of the day, that wouldn't be going on if this team wasn't making buzz. And yeah, you look at the two losses to good teams, like you said, with Oregon and with Ohio State. You could look on the other side that Michigan beating Michigan State put those teams over the edge, and not necessarily that those two teams were that good. You could say that Michigan State, just beating Michigan State, put them over the edge to get to that top four. So is it a little bit tethered? I don't know about that, but I think that there's a lot of support to back it up. But overall, Al, I mean, you look at the whole season, there's not really a lot to say that it isn't, that Michigan State hasn't put themselves on the national perspective.
Right, right. Certainly. And I definitely agree with that. Michigan State is solidifying itself as one of the best college football programs in the nation. Without a doubt. Definitely agree with that. But, you know, I always say when it comes to success of no matter what squad it is, no matter what team it is, no matter what sport it may be, I believe that in order to reach that next level or that next gear, so to speak, and to hit the level of success where you can look at yourself and be a legitimate contender each and every year, it's all in the mind and how you look at things. Again, when will Michigan State hit that next gear where they're saying, okay, when they get to the point where they say, okay, if we don't compete for a national championship this year, it is a disappointment. When does Michigan State hit that gear? Because I think when you do hit that gear, when you are competing and expect to compete for national championships every single year, when not making that 4-team playoff becomes a huge disappointment, when does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, when that happens, when if they don't make the 4-team disappointment, I mean, the 4-team playoff, it probably has to be if they honestly drop below like 8 or 7. I mean, if they're still getting 10, 11 wins, that's a fine season. You look at all the other teams that didn't make the playoff. You look at Mississippi State. Dan Mullen's still breeding the success.
Right.
He's still getting complicated. So just because they don't make the playoff, I'm not willing to throw them or tether them a little bit or say that they're not really an elite team.
Right. Okay. To clear it up, that's not what I'm saying here. I do believe Michigan State is definitely an elite team. But as far as their mindset goes, because I rest assured, if you go down to Alabama land or even Oregon at this point, And they've been like this for the past few years as well. I mean, if they don't win a national championship, it's a failed year.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it, it's kind of like the Los Angeles Lakers, that powerhouse. If they don't win a championship or compete for it at least, it's a failed year. Will Michigan State ever reach that point where if you don't reach the mountaintop
right.
or get
oh,
close
I see
to
saying.
It, yeah, you
yeah.
know what I'm saying? If you don't reach that mountaintop, when would they reach that mindset
right.
where it becomes a disappointment?
Well, I think that depends when you become a legacy like we talked about.
Right.
I mean, I went on and said that Michigan State is the beginning of a legacy. You went on to say that to be a legacy, you need consecutive years of
winning. You got to have history.
For me, that's when it starts. If you got 2 good years and then you start to fall off, then, yeah, you can't really have that goal. I mean, aside from TCU this year, before Gary Patterson's success, there were many times where TCU finished in the top 5, top 10 over the last 5-6 years. And after that, sometimes they'd have a little bit of a down year. But if you're in the top 10 consistently for about, I'd say about 4 or 5 years, then I think you can put yourself to that standard.
Yeah, but then there's also the other side that says, okay, if you're consistently in the top 4 or 5 every single year or even 10, it's like, why aren't you getting the job done? You know, why haven't you gotten past that? You know what I mean? Why haven't you pushed yourself above that? You know what I mean? If you're just constantly getting there every single year and falling short, is there a problem with that as well? Interesting discussion, though. I mean, I guess it all...
That's a good side of it. But
yeah.
if you do put yourself and say, oh, well, you've been there. How come you can't get it done? That's what I'm saying is I think you got to have that cutoff mark where if you're there too much, Michigan State, I think, is teetering to that point of being there too much. It's been 2 years in a row where they're in the top 10. Maybe you give themselves 1 or 2 more years, maybe more than 2 or 3, then you could say that. I don't know. What are your thoughts on like the actual limit of when you can say that it's too much?
As far as
you've had your chances, it's been too many years to win a championship.
I think if maybe 3, I think after 3, you know, you gotta get over that hump, I think. And I think after you do it 3 times, it's like, okay, all right, the second year proves it's not a fluke. And the third one kind of puts a stamp on it. You know what I mean? And I think after that third year, if you don't make that progression, it's like, okay, maybe you can start doubting a few things here. I don't know.
Well,
but still.
I think that the fourth year, I don't know about 3, maybe 4, because if you look at the first year, Michigan State was not even projected to even win or go to the Rose Bowl.
Right.
That wasn't even
a
goal.
It was a surprise.
It was
exactly.
a goal. But, it, national championship wasn't even a goal at that point.
Right.
So the second year, even D'Antonio to start the year, he said, okay, yeah, we have some other goals in mind, a.k.a. making that playoff. So it was the second year that the goal was starting to be made, but it wasn't established. Next year, now that they were in the brink of winning the bowl, year 3, then Mark D'Antonio can say, okay, now our goal is to win a national championship. It's to get into that playoff. So I think that you give your main goal for next year to win. 4 or 5 years, I think, is appropriate for Michigan State's sake.
Right.
For an Alabama, for an Oregon, yeah, I think you can make the argument for 3 years. But for Michigan State, national championship just got into the picture this year.
Yeah, and you know, it's so interesting because the system, too, the system is flawed, in my opinion. They need to expand this thing. D'Antonio was also asked about that and, you know, whether he will be in favor of expanding it to possibly 8 teams. And he kind of jokingly said, well, if, yeah, that would include us. So, yeah. So he talked about that and also alluded to how the system, I mean, there's a lot of teams in the nation that, I mean, there's only four. If you get close, that's darn admirable at the end of the day. So, folks, again, what do you think about it? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we hit the first break, Alex, also want to bring up Mark Hollis. He did bring up exploring beer sales at Spartan Stadium. He did. He was asked about it.
Do you remember the last time we talked about that?
I do. It was an interesting summer. Argument. Yeah, that was this past summer when Matt was still on board with us, actually. And he totally shut it down. He said no. I'm not exploring that possibility. I don't want to explore that possibility because he feels as though that the reason why some tickets aren't getting sold when it comes to Spartan Stadium, when at least looking at this year, is because some fans are frankly turned off by the game experience because of maybe situations. And what I got from what he was saying was basically individuals have to know how to handle themselves outside of the stadium when it comes to liquor and consuming liquor. So if they don't even know how to do that, how can we expect them to handle themselves in the game? So interesting take on it. A few other schools have explored that option and actually started selling beer at their respective football stadiums. Interesting stuff. And again, you know, going back to our conversation this summer about it, there are things that come with that. I personally don't have a problem with it, you know. Personally, I don't, because you already got individuals going to the games who are already buzzed, who are already feeling it, you know what I mean? Now, there's a possibility if you start selling beer at the games, maybe they go a little bit overboard and you're always going to have, though, fans who are a little outlandish and can't contain themselves when it comes to liquor consumption. You're always going to have that. And you're always going to have fans and students. There's plenty of students, especially when I was in college and got to see it firsthand. My college roommate being one of them my freshman year, I mean, would absolutely be plastered going to the games. Plastered. Not even aware about what's going on at the game. That's just how the student section is. I mean, that's the atmosphere of it. So I don't see how having beer sales at the stadium could eclipse that even more. Maybe I'm blind, though.
No, I mean, and that's the thing, too, is before this year, it was ruled that drinking on campus is allowed. Number one, that obviously has probably had a lot more situations on campus that Mark is alluding to than ever before. Number two, look at professional teams for a second. There are plenty of people that get plastered at Pistons games, at Lions games, especially Lions games. And, you know, you can make that argument for any pro team. So I'm not really sold on the fact that it's certain people's or maybe students' behavior for maybe their alcohol consumption. What I am more sold on is the fact that maybe there's been a little bit more rise of crimes this year during game days. Maybe there's just been more instances around campus. And it's shown, the research has shown that there has been this year. So I could see that side of it. But at the same time, is that going to stop you really from going to a game? I mean, for me, it's the weather, I would say, is a big thing.
Right, right. I mean, MSU has been relatively decent when it comes to attendance in years past. And, they've done it without selling beer at their stadium. So, there's so many things to take into account and so many things that go through the head of an athletic director as, you know, when trying to figure out why people aren't showing up at certain games or staying throughout an entire game. There's so many things, so many intangibles that you can weigh. You can only, at the end of the day, you know, explore different options. And I do think, you know, that is an option that I don't fault any other school for trying, because at the end of the day, that brings in moolah for your school. If you're not having those ticket sales and those numbers aren't where they need to be, you got to explore and exhaust every option that you have to. You know what I mean? That's just doing your job at the end of the day. So interesting stuff there. All right, let's hit the first break, folks. Again, if you want to call in, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We still have a pair of tickets to tonight's MSU women's basketball game. They take on Alcorn State at 7 p.m. If you want to head on out to the Breslin Center, give us a call, and you could be the lucky winner. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Well, I tell you what, folks, the talks of Jim Harbaugh possibly becoming the next head football coach out in Ann Arbor have hit a new high. I tell you what, I went on Twitter around about maybe 5 or 6 o'clock yesterday, still in the office work, and decided to go on Twitter. And my Twitter just about froze on me because I saw constant tweets just about, I had to refresh every 5 seconds almost. People talking about Jim Harbaugh possibly going to Michigan. And then moments later, after I'm looking at that, I get a text message from, again, Eric Doc Love from 92.1 FM. He's a basketball and football commentator for them. Does an outstanding job. Doc shoots me a text and says, "Hey, Harbaugh to Michigan, 8 years, $49 million, just about confirmed." So when he says that, when Doc texts me that, I'm like, whoa, hold on, just about confirmed. What are you talking about? So, again, I go online, explore a few media outlets, go to ESPN.com, Yahoo, you know, Freep, all that. I explored about, like, I read, like, 4 different articles. And a lot of, again, he said, she said conversations, basically talking about, you know, Jim Harbaugh, we want you here, blah, blah, blah. But nothing in the bag. Nothing concrete, I should say. It's really even a funny picture on Twitter that got a lot of press. It's actually on CBSDetroit.com if you haven't seen it. But fans have actually taken upon themselves to already reserve a parking spot for Mr. Jim Harbaugh. You know, it's a funny picture. You know, there's a sign with 2 Michigan football helmets on it that says 24 hours reserved, violators will not be told. It has Hackett's name, which is his official parking spot. Jim Hackett, of course, the athletic director at U of M, has his name on the right for the right parking spot. And on the left, there's a yellow piece of paper with the name Jim Harbaugh written on it, already sticking to the sign. So, and I tell you what, Alex, again, who knows if Jim Harbaugh is coming to Michigan? We don't know. Again, there's a lot of rumors and a lot of speculation surrounded around this discussion. Again, and I'll go on to say this again, individuals out in Ann Arbor, Michigan fans, Michigan alumni, the Michigan fan base will not be happy. It will be a huge letdown. Jim Harbaugh will crush their little hearts if he does not get hired out in Ann Arbor. Point blank, period. It's gotten to that point where the fiasco and the talks have become so big, where the rumors have become so loud, at times obnoxious, you know, for guys like me who is like, okay, there's nothing confirmed. Why are we talking about this? They've become so in your face that if Michigan fans don't get this guy, they could care less what other name pops up. They won't be satisfied, Alex.
Yeah, the bar's been set high, man. And then especially with this Les Miles news coming out today, that's the other big name that they've been waiting for.
Was now, yeah.
Yeah. And if you take out Les Miles, you take out Jim Harbaugh, there aren't really any NFL names left aside from Greg Schiano, who wasn't very successful in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. No matter who they hire, if it isn't Harbaugh, it's going to be a letdown. But at the end of the day, Al, the fact that Jim Harbaugh has not said anything about it yet, he hasn't came out and said, nope, take me out. Not like Les Miles here. He's not saying, take me out. That, for me, is a good sign for Michigan fans.
Well, this is the thing. I hate, with a capital H, when head coaches, and this happens a lot more so in college football than any other sporting event or team or level of sports. In college football, you sometimes have coaches where the regular season is done, and they still have a bowl game left to play. So officially, the season's not done yet. And you have coaches leave the team for another team still when you got a game left to play. You know what I mean? I hate when that happens. So ideally, your season's still going on. You have coaches who leave or are fired or let go because that happens as well. And I just hate that aspect of things as well. But I think Jim Harbaugh right now, with that being said, I mean, the NFL, he's still got a season left to play. Ideally, it looks as though the San Francisco 49ers are not going to make the playoffs. They have had a bad year. Bad year for out in San Fran, out in the Bay. And again, you know, it looks as though that, you know, Jim Harbaugh probably will be on the cutting board after this year. And with that being said, I mean, I think Michigan is basically playing the waiting game right now to see once the season ends for San Francisco if Jim would consider going to Ann Arbor to coach. And again, I mean, if you're Jim Harbaugh, now again, we can only speculate. This is only speculation. Only speculation for us because we don't know anything at the end of the day. We don't. Simple as that. Who knows if Jim Harbaugh is going to be the next coach at U of M? We can only speculate. But Alex, if you are Jim Harbaugh, you're in the NFL, you're making millions and millions of dollars, there are going to be at least about 7 or 8 teams after this year, I think, that will be looking for a next head coach, that will possibly look at Jim Harbaugh and would love to probably have Jim Harbaugh as their coach. Would you leave the NFL to go coach your alma mater at U of M? They may offer you a sweet deal, but then you got to deal with recruiting again. Would you do it personally for you? Would Alex Sharg leave the NFL and go coach U of M?
Yeah, well, for me, I have an affinity for college sports in the aspect of recruiting. So for me, I would personally love to coach at the college level. But for Jim Harbaugh, he could probably land another NFL job. So for him, it might be worth it to stick for the NFL. But Al, he has an affinity for his alma mater.
He does.
He loves Michigan. Yeah. And that affinity might trump the fact of getting an extra dollar at an NFL team. So I could very much see him leaving, going to Michigan for not the same dollar amount just because he wants that college coaching experience. The fact that his father has coached at Michigan before, he's seen what that culture's like. That's what he was raised as. I'm sure that he would love to have kind of echo that same kind of thing. So I would not be surprised if he left at all.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, again, the talks have become so rampant now. I feel like every day social media is blowing up about the possibility of Jim Harbaugh coming down to coach. I mean, I tell you what, I would like him to come to U of M because I would like to meet the guy and pick his brain a little bit and possibly have a segment here on Current Sports that you can enjoy. But, you know, if that doesn't happen, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't happen. You know what I mean? Honestly, Alex, though, to be honest with looking at it, I kind of take that back. I would be surprised if Jim Harbaugh came down because I just, a coach in the NFL who has the type of history and record that he has, I mean, he's been to a Super Bowl before. He's been there before. And just the type of guy that Jim Harbaugh is and the success that he's had at the next level, him coming down to coach U of M, yeah, it would surprise me a bit. It would definitely surprise me a bit, I think. Folks, what do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's shift gears now, Alex, and go to our weekly segment that we have each and every Tuesday here on Current Sports. Each and every Tuesday, we love to dive into a top five sporting topic, if you will, whether it be the top five running backs of all time, the top five college coaches of all time. And we have a lot of fun with our top five Tuesday segment. So we're going to do it today, like we always do. And, you know, with everything that's transpired so far with the MSU men's basketball season, Alex, and again, this is a team unlike any other Michigan State Tom Izzo coach team that I've seen in the past, specifically when it comes to one facet of their offense. They love to shoot. They are trigger happy, and they're not shy in letting the ball fly from the three-point arc. They actually lead the nation and field goal three-point efficiency. How about that? I mean, it's unbelievable. They lead the nation, folks. Lead the nation. So they are the hottest team from the three-point arc in the entire nation. Unlike any other Tom Izzo team, because I've never seen a team that just shoots this much and is pretty good at shooting the ball. So we decided to honor the shooters of the college game more specifically on today's show. Folks, Top 5 Tuesday, we bring to you the top five shooters in college hoops history. 5-4-3-2-1. All right, folks, yes. Time for Top 5 Tuesday, and today's Top 5 Tuesday centers around the man who can shoot. Yes, the top five shooters in college sports history. I have a certain affinity for this topic, Alex, because I tell you what, when I'm on the court, I'm a shooter. You know what I mean? I can slash. I love slashing, but when I'm out there at IM West or IM East tearing it up, getting my Al Jordan on, I love shooting the ball. It's something that became a patent of mine back in high school ball. So I have a certain respect for these five individuals that or 10 individuals, because I'm assuming, well, yeah, there may be a few that may be the same on both of our respective lists, but I have a certain respect for what these guys do. So I guess I'll start this thing off. I'm going to start with number five. Let's see here. Kyle Korver out in Creighton, Alex. Those who, if that name rings a bell, Kyle Korver, he's actually having a pretty solid NBA career right now. But before that, I mean, I tell you, this kid could really shoot the basketball. He's actually the only player in the history of NCAA college hoops to make at least 373 pointers while shooting at least 44% from long range. That is admirable. I mean, to shoot that many three-pointers and to be that efficient from the three-point line, and that right there, that's a statistic, as I go on and list my other four here, that's a statistic that is not common with the other individuals on my list, and you'll see why. Alex, that's number five.
That's so funny. Mine as well. But how about Kyle Korver just being a great three-point shooter in the NBA, winning that three-point contest in the NBA shootout? Probably, if you look at the rest of the names on this list, maybe aside from Steph Curry, probably one of the better college three-point players that has gone on to a good NBA career. He's been with multiple different teams, a solid role player. You can't really go wrong with him.
Yeah, and when you talk about that transition from going from the college game to the next level in the NBA, I always said you cannot be one-dimensional. You can be and get by very well as a one-dimensional player in the college game. But when you hit that next level, when you get drafted in the NBA, I mean, everybody's big, everybody's strong, everybody can shoot. You have to be able to do, and do very well, multiple things out there on the basketball court. And I think Kyle Korver has done a great job at seeing the court well. He's a great assist guy. He's a great role player. He does multiple things well other than just shoot. So, all right, Kyle Korver, a consensus number five between me and Alex, at least.
That's right.
All right, number four. I am going to go with Mark Alberts. Now, this is a name that not many people know about. Mark Alberts actually played at Akron. From 1988 to 1993, he made 375 three-pointers and shot 43.9%. Now, he played sparingly. This is what makes Mark's career so interesting, folks, is that Mark Alberts played very sparingly. He did not get a lot of playing time. And I tell you what, just looking at his freshman numbers alone, I mean, just through the charts. Through the charts, he actually only logged 308 minutes while making 52.9% of his three-pointers that he shot, and 68 three-pointers is what he took at that. So that's unbelievable. To shoot above 50% as a freshman, to play that amount of minutes, only 308 minutes, that's unbelievable. So Mark Alberts, I mean, yeah, the kid was great.
That's a very good one, man. My number four is Travis Bader, Oakland's very own. I mean, setting the record like he did, beating Redick, beating J.J. Redick, and just basically the fact that he came from a smaller conference and had such a big name on the NCAA scene is huge. Statistically, he's probably one of the highest on paper, but when you look at it at the smaller level, he's not really a top two or three person, but I got to put him in number four. He's got to be in the top five ever, man. He's the record holder.
Yeah, he is definitely the record holder. And you know what high school he went to, don't you?
I don't. What high school did he go to?
He went to Okemos High School.
Wow.
He's a local legend, man. Travis Bader. Got a chance to meet him a few times, actually, you know, when he was in town 1 year playing the Michigan State men's basketball team. But, yeah, he's born and raised right here in good old Okemos, Michigan, right here in Mitt, Michigan. And that's what makes it even more cool.
Very
so,
cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you cover him in high school?
No, I didn't. He actually, when I first got my first job in 2012 at Channel 6, he was actually already in college at Oakland, so tearing it up out there. So, yeah, Travis Bader, shout out to him. Yeah, but Travis is also on my list. He is actually, he is my number three here. Travis Bader. Yeah, Travis Bader again. Again, he holds the record for the most three-pointers made in career, more than anyone. But this thing about Travis, though, he shot a lower percentage than anyone. That's the thing about it. When you look at the great three-point shooters of college basketball, even though he made a lot, his accuracy wasn't there as well. But I think that comes with the territory when you're a shooter. Either you're really hot or sometimes you're really cold, and that can skew your percentage at the end of the day. But one thing that's common with everybody on this list, if you do make this list at home and you're following us, everybody has at least a 40% make percentage when it comes to three-pointers. So they at least shoot 40% or better. So, again, Travis Bader, 40%, 40.5 to be exact. And, again, holds the record for the most three-pointers made in career. He's got to be on that list, right? So, all right. Who's your number three, Alex?
My number three is a man by the name of J.J. Redick. He was lethal from three. I mean, you and I grew up watching him. He had a pretty good role player role in the NBA as well. But J.J. Redick, man, I mean, he was the leader of that Duke team. And the fact that, you know, he graduated with more career three-point field goals, aside from Bader, than anyone in history, that's pretty good. 40.6% career-wise. Pretty phenomenal, man. He stayed 4 years, but that's still a pretty hard task to defeat. He went to a great school. I don't think there aren't too many other guys out there that can top him.
Yeah, definitely. He went to school from 2002 to 2006, and that's my number two. That is my number two. So that's your number three. That's my number two. Again, played at Duke, 2002 to 2006. He made 457 three-pointers, and he shot 40.6%. And that's just a hair better than Travis Bader, again, at 40.5. Now, again, you know, think about J.J. Redick. I don't know if you tuned into the Pistons game last night, Alex. Well, you said you didn't, but I watched the entire game. I torture myself every time watching the Pistons every night. But J.J. Redick has worked his way into the starting lineup for the Los Angeles Clippers. And he burned the Detroit Pistons multiple times, actually hitting the first three field goals in a row. In a row for the Clippers. So J.J. Redick has certainly made a very, very good living at the NBA level. He's actually, I didn't even know this, 9 years in. I can't believe J.J. Redick has played 9 years already in the NBA. Alex, we're getting old, I guess. We're getting old, man, because I remember when his kid was like a junior in college. So J.J. Redick is my number two, though. Who's your number two, Alex?
My number two is Virginia coach Tony Bennett, man.
Tony Bennett, yeah.
Tony Bennett's my number two way back in the day. Statistically, I mean, I remember growing up hearing about this guy for ages. I mean, to have the best percentage overall, he has to be in the top five. Finished total 49.7% from 1988 to 1992. Tony Bennett, man, I mean, that was following right after Michigan's era of that national championship, and he came up and basically dominated, man. He's got to be on your list.
Yeah, that's a very good – he's actually honorable mention for me. He didn't make it.
What? Not even on your list?
Not even on my list yet. Because look at it, I got Kyle Korver. I have Marv Alberts. I've got Travis Bader, J.J. Redick, and I only got room for one more. So, he didn't make my list, though. It's a good one. That is a very good one, though. I thought about putting him on there.
Vocal cords are singing, man. They're calling for Tony Bennett on
right.
there, man.
Now, you come at the argument that Tony Bennett should be ranked higher than Kyle Korver.
Absolutely.
Could make that argument, too. But I don't know. I have an affinity for Kyle Korver. So
he has the best percentage in history, man.
Yeah, I know. He's definitely he's don't get me wrong. I mean, he's up there. But, again, this has been my personal list. I kind of had some bias on this list, okay? I rarely get to be biased as a sports reporter, but I get to do that here on Current Sports Radio. So I got to take advantage of it when I can, right? Number one for me is a man who I think will go down. It's not just, in my opinion, the greatest college shooter of all time, but the greatest shooter, period, of all time. Because looking at what this kid is doing at the NBA level, I've never seen a guy be able to shoot from the pocket as quick as he does, be able to get his shot off in multiple angles. It doesn't matter where he's shooting on the court. He can be off balance and still hit all nothing but the bottom of the net. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable to watch him play. I got to go with Steph Curry. Of course, he went to college. He played at Davidson from 2006 to 2009. He's actually the only player on your top five or top 10 list that you can compile. The only player, I bet you he's the only one on the list who spent fewer than four seasons in college, yet still ranks eighth all time for made 3-point field goals in a college career. Only one who can do
that.
That's
my number one, too, man.
Yeah, it's the only one who can do that in that short amount of time. I mean, that is unbelievable. Now, at an average of 138 three-pointers per season, he would have finished his career with 552. Now, at the time, it would have been the most ever by a margin of 95. So, if he would have played another year, who knows what would have happened? Who knows? But, yeah, Steph Curry, I mean, watching this kid play at the next level, you know, of course he's over there in Golden State playing with former Spartan Draymond Green, who has also worked his way into the starting lineup over as a Warrior. But Steph Curry, just watching him play, I mean, if you haven't seen him play, folks, you are missing out, basketball junkies. You are missing out. All right, Alex, this is our second break. When we come back, we'll wrap the show up with just minutes left, folks. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. All right, folks, you know I got to remind you about Current Sports TV, don't I? Current Sports TV tapes each and every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. at the WKAR TV studios. We air Current Sports TV on WKAR TV each and every Thursday night at 10 o'clock. This week will be no exception. I will be sitting down with personal fitness trainer, fitness guru is what I like to dub him, Mike Ball. He's a great guy. He's been on Current Sports Radio before. We always have him on to talk about how to eat right, how to eat better, how to work out better, get you on a training regimen, something like that. You know, he's a really cool guy that has a really interesting take on how to just live a healthier life. So again, we're getting him in right here on the heels of the holiday season. Christmas is right around the corner. I'm sure many of you will just be straight up picking it out, eating all the pies and turkey, funnel cakes, mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese. I'm sure many of you, like myself, will probably gain about 10 pounds over this holiday season. So how do you do this the right way? How do you do this the smart way over the holiday season? Mike is going to run it down on what you can do to binge eat, but at the same time, be healthier about it. So you don't want to miss this week's Current Sports TV. Again, it airs Thursday night at 10 p.m. on WKAR TV. Set your DVRs. You do not want to miss it. Also, keep it tuned to WKAR.org. Later on, I'll be posting some moments from the presser this morning. The MSU Cotton Bowl Media Day is Mark D'Antonio, Mark Hollis, Dave Warner, Pat Narduzzi. They all address the media later on, so you don't want to miss any of that. Alex, with 2 minutes left in the show to close it out, I want to get your thoughts on tonight's MSU Alcorn State women's basketball game. I know you have been looking into that a little bit. What are you expecting tonight?
Yeah, man. I mean, looking at the different guard play between both teams, Michigan State's guards will definitely overpower Alcorn State. The play of aerial power, statistically, they definitely overpower this team. Smaller conference, so you're not expecting a lot. However, Alcorn State does have one forward that's pretty good, so that might be a little bit close. They're a leading scorer, but overall, I mean, look at all the bright spots of Michigan's team. After their dominance over Loyola, this team isn't too different. So I like Michigan State tonight, man.
Yeah, I think Michigan State won't even make it close. I mean, again, they scored 90 points against Loyola Chicago. Alcorn State isn't a really, really impressive team. But this would be a good game for, again, we talk about the chemistry angle of things. This would be a great game for Michigan State's women's basketball team to develop that chemistry as the season gets tougher and Big Ten play ensues down the line. So, yeah, I think Michigan State wins big also tonight. Also, tomorrow we'll talk about Greg Monroe because the rumors have surfaced again when it comes to him wanting to be with the team, possibly trade it to another team. Will he test the free agent market after this year? The rumors have started up again with him. Of course, they started this past summer, so we'll talk about that tomorrow on tomorrow's show. Well, folks, time of the show that I hate, my least favorite part of Current Sports, where we got to say goodbye. But thank you to all of you out there for tuning in to today's show. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Tuesday, and be easy, people.